the beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie Jane.
Hello, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen on Babes Behind the Beats, and today we have on the show DJ, producer, singer, songwriter, all the way from the UK, Lizzie Curious. Woo!
Hey, thank you for the warm welcome. It's great to be chatting with you both.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on the show. And I believe, Bowie, you've actually seen Lizzie play, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen Lizzie perform at Deep House Brunch in LA. So she does this. I think you must do regular trips over to the States, do you? Is that what happens? And then you perform over here?
Yeah. I mean, certainly before the pandemic hit, then, yeah, I was coming over to the States regularly. Scotty Boy, who runs Deep House Brunch, is a good friend of mine. We've collabed on several tracks. So, yeah, I've had the real pleasure of going to play like in LA several times, and the vibe there is just incredible.
Oh, yeah. Now, that brunch was absolutely awesome. It was going off. It's like they had live drummer, they have Lizzie DJing and performing. You're also singing. So, and you've had some, like, you're performing some of your huge hits, which you've had. You're Not Alone is actually one of my favorite songs.
Oh, thank you. Mine
Scotty
too.
Boy, yeah. Great track. Wow. So now I'm wondering, you've been DJing for 20 years, but how, is that right? 20 years? I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Like, yes.
So, been DJing for 20 years. Now, how did you get started? Did you teach yourself? Because I think for a lot of females out there, if they wanted to DJ, you wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah. So I'm so lucky. I've had such an interesting and varied career in the music industry so far. And when I first learned to DJ, it was back in like the very late 90s, early 2000s. And I was at university at a little town just outside of the main center of London. So I was going into London on the weekends and going to these just incredible all-night parties, like under red railway arches, just amazing music. It really just inspired me so much. And after a few months, I just had this feeling. I was like, I just want to know like how to like play these records and do this. And of course, I think it's hard for anyone who's grown up, you know, with having smartphones, you know, around them to appreciate it in the same way. But back then, there was no kind of Google or YouTube. Like we were going to check our emails once a week in the computer room. Like I'm really showing my years of experience now. But yeah, so I bought with my student loan, very cliched, I went and bought some decks and went and got some records and set it all up, kind of spent an afternoon with my housemate at the time, like trying to mix. I didn't even know what the pitch fader was. And just remember after hours of just trying to figure this out, just looked at each other and said, well, the only thing we can do is if we just buy records at the same speed, that's the only way we'll ever be able to mix.
That's hilarious.
And months of practicing and figuring it out, literally completely self-taught. I had no knowledge of dance music and its structure at all. And the first time I then went to a studio to make my own track, I actually took the track along with me that I wanted to make on manuscript paper, and I'd written it all out. So I was, you know, coming into this from a completely different angle. But yeah, fortunately, like the bug bit me and I learned how to mix. And, you know, for the first 10 years, it was very much like a passion and a hobby. And then the next 10 years was when I started to actually convert it into, do you know what? Yeah, this could be my career. I love it. Let's go.
Yeah, how cool is that? And you've done some amazing gigs. For when you're DJing now, how do you organize your library? Are you on Serato or Rekordbox?
Oh, that's a great question. So I have a little bit of it's probably not the most modern of systems, but what I generally do is I'll have big listening sessions where I'll go through all of the promos and the demos I get sent, and I'll go, you know, through all my kind of must listen like labels and artists on all the sites, etc., and download them all. And then what I do first of all is I put them all into my Apple Music and make my playlist there. And for the last year and a half, I've been just playing from Serato because I've been live streaming. So I've been doing it all through my laptop. But when I go out to do shows, if I'm on a lineup with other artists, I'll generally just go for what I call the kind of the safest option, which is to use USB sticks, because yeah, I've had too many experiences. It hasn't happened to me when I've been trying to plug a laptop in, because I've always gone with USBs. But the number of times I've been with other artists and they've been trying to plug their laptop in either before or after my set and something's gone gone wrong? You know, there's like so many variables. So so for that, then I use, I make my set lists in Rekordbox and then put them on my USBs. So I know that I've kind of like got like the least options of something that could go wrong. And then I'll have like 3 or 4 USBs with me as well, just to make sure.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm the same. If I'm doing a club gig where there's, say, other artists, other DJs, I'm definitely on USB. But if I'm the only DJ for the night, I'd do the laptop because I can do the setup before and make sure it's all working. I only use one laptop for DJing and I have a different laptop for all my work stuff. Yeah, so that's good. And you use, it's interesting you use Rekordbox because I'd say most people have been DJing for a long time and more on Serato, right? I'm on Rekordbox.
Yeah, do you know, I don't know really. I think it's just a case for me that, you know, I just find something that works and then just run with it. And so, yeah, like I've got my Serato controller and I use that on my laptop, but just for, just putting my tracks onto my USBs, I just have found that it works really well with Rekordbox. And I'm very much kind of a, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Or, you know the analogy, right?
Yeah. So, drummer over here going to ask maybe a dumb question. What is the difference or what is Serato and Rekordbox? Like what is the purpose of that in the DJ world?
Great question. Well, I hope that I'm going to explain this properly. They're basically, Serato, from how I understand it, is it's an all-in-one DJ system. So you actually have like a DJ controller, and it, trying to explain it in a way that doesn't sound really ridiculous, but the controller basically links into your laptop, and then you can access all of the tunes from your laptop onto your DJ controller, and you can use it the same way as you would use like CD platters or vinyl decks like back in the day. But instead of like pulling out a piece of vinyl and putting it on a record back deck, you are actually queuing up what track you want to play by using Serato, and then it kind of magically takes the MP3, triggers it, and you mix it in and play it. And Rekordbox, I believe, now has that same functionality, but I think Rekordbox originally was set up to help DJs to organize their track selections and burn them to USBs, etc. But I do believe now that you can get controllers that work actually integrated with Rekordbox as well.
Yeah, that's
So I kind of like, they do the same thing now, but I think they came at it from slightly different kind of user functionality type perspectives.
And the program itself is really good for preparation for a gig. So you're organizing into folders and you can see who the artist is, the BPM. You might have written a little note on it.
So it's better than having just like a playlist, or it's like essentially putting a playlist together on this.
Yeah, it's just an organizing.
It's an organized, and it gives you the BPMs. Yeah. That's the difference between, I guess, having a playlist, is you wouldn't know the BPMs. Maybe even the keys. Does it give you the keys of the songs and stuff?
Yeah. Yes, it does. And you can have like hot cues, and you can do loads of stuff.
Yeah, you put cues in so that you know where you might want to exit a track, or you might have the hook is there.
Oh, or you might start at like just the chorus or something. And
Exactly. Or you might be teasing the next track in and you're going to start with the hook.
See, I always wondered.
Then you go back to the start.
I always wondered how DJs did that, because I really am so unfamiliar with this world that I'm like, how do they just take like one little like musical instrument part and like blend that into another song? And then I'll be like, wait, are they about to, like when you played Don't Start Now at the Dodger game, when I came to watch you DJ, and how did I, like, I heard you blending that in there.
Yeah.
I just, it's crazy to me. It seems like so hard. I don't know. I've just never done it before. So
yeah, it's all in the preparation, don't you think, Lizzie?
Yeah, and I guess like what you're talking about there, that's probably like the looping function, and that's something you can have a lot of fun with, you know. I mean, and this is something like when you were playing vinyl, like sometimes I would like take one vinyl off and then quickly put another vinyl on with an acapella on, and then play that acapella with the other track, and then take that off and then put the other vinyl back on to mix in the new tune. Like I remember I recorded a demo once, and in the first like 6 minutes I mixed 4 tunes on vinyl like seamlessly, and I was so proud of myself.
Oh my
but now
God.
I know, but now, like, with everything being digital and Serato, people are like, yeah, like, I do that in every single set all the time. That it's just, you know, the technology has evolved so much that we can be so creative with, like, tunes while we're DJing, which makes it all the more exciting.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I want to talk about, too, your, obviously, you're a songwriter as well, and you're putting the top lines, or I don't know the process for you, but you seem to be the top liner on heaps of tracks. So how has that come about? Like, how's your career headed down that path?
That's an interesting one, because I, very, very long story short, when I was younger and like doing school and college, I was training like a lot, like classically with music. So I was doing all my exams and I did the piano, the flute, the cello, and I also did singing. So singing was always very much like kind of like part of my kind of who I was. And I was in a band when I was at college. And so I've always really, really loved singing. And I just feel very fortunate that, you know, being able to, you know, write a melody and the lyrics, they kind of just pop into my head, which is, you know, a really wonderful thing when other people seem to enjoy them as well. So I kind of work in a few different ways. So there are some collaborations where the other producer has written the backing track, and then I do exactly what you're saying. So I'm doing the top line, so I'm doing the melody and the lyrics over the top. And then other times I'll be doing a cover. So like, you know, you mentioned before very kindly that you like my You're Not Alone one, and that is a cover of a really iconic 90s dance tune. So for that one, the hard work of the amazing song was already written. So what we had to do was put our own slant on it. And the pressure's on when you're doing a cover, because you need to make sure that you do a good job to the original, because otherwise, you know, that's like the worst thing you can do. So, and then the third one is I might actually be writing the tune myself and then singing the vocal over the top. So it's really nice to have like those different options and different ways of working. And sometimes I'll make a track and it won't even have any of my own like vocals or lyrics on it, because I just want to, you know, do something different. So I guess it kind of depends as well, like what mood I'm in really.
And how did you find, say, someone like Scotty Boy, who you've done a lot of tracks with, it seems, how did he find you, or you find him? Like, how does that work for the network? People may be wondering.
Met through very good friends of ours. So when I first went to Miami in 2010 for the Winter Music Conference, it was just like a magical meeting. I met this wonderful group of people. The girl that I met first of all was in front of me for a queue to the bathroom, and I just finished DJing a set on Nikki Beach, and I'd ran around and then it was a big queue, so I was like skipping in the queue, like, because it was so long and I was trying to wait. And she turned around and said, "Oh, were you just DJing?" I said, "Yeah." So we then got to chatting. So it ended up being brilliant that I'd been in the queue, because it turned out that her husband was a DJ in Miami, and they then invited me to DJ at their pool party. And Scotty Boy was a good friend of their kind of friendship collection. So I then met Scotty in Miami the year after at a house party, and we stayed in touch. And then a couple of years later, you know, he heard one of my tracks and then said, "Oh, you know, like things are going really great. You're really blowing up." And me being ever the opportunist, I suppose you might say, I was like, "Oh, well, if you're ever interested in a collaboration, let me know." And he was like, "Actually, yes." So at that point, I'd moved to Grand Cayman in the Caribbean.
Oh, and nice.
I had the idea. Yeah, it was magical. Wow. I had the idea of making a cover of You're Not Alone, because it's a track I've always loved, and I always kind of thought that it would be something that my voice would align with quite well. So I recorded the vocal in Grand Cayman, and it was actually really nice, because I drove to the other side of the island, which is the real quiet part. And so it was just like this beautiful house of a friend of mine who had a studio, and there was like tropical birds singing outside, and he had like a wind chime, and I was like really like zen and in the zone, and went into his studio and did the vocal. And I think that just kind of helped for the overall quality of it. And then I sent it to Scotty, and he had the idea to then make it into like a tropical house version, which, you know, was just something I really hadn't thought of. And that's the magic of a collaboration, I think, is when someone else has an idea that isn't at all what you thought, and it just works so brilliantly. And that's how that came about.
See, it's all about knowing people, hanging around toilet lines.
I was going to say, you know, you never know who you're going to meet in that bathroom line.
So you mentioned Winter Music Conference. I'm actually curious about that, because I've been, well, I was going to go last year or this year, but obviously then COVID. What would you say the value is in going to something like Winter Music Conference for, I guess, maybe networking?
I think that there are some really, really great conferences actually now pretty much all across the globe for networking within the music industry. My experiences of Miami Winter Music Conference are that it is more about the kind of label showcases and the artist showcases. So I think like it's really great if you want to kind of immerse yourself and, you know, get out and go, you know, try and see lots of different artists and shows. Like every conceivable place like turns into a venue. Like I've DJed in the Armani Exchange store there, and I've DJed, like as I mentioned, on Nikki Beach, but then I've also DJed like in a hotel lobby. So I think like if you want to kind of get amongst it, and you know, the vibe of the buzz is incredible, like walking down the street during that time, because there's just like music coming from every angle, and it is a lot of fun, definitely.
Yeah, I'm gonna head there for sure.
Yeah. Lizzie, I also wanted to ask you a little bit about you teach at Point Blank Music School.
I do, yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about that and what are you teaching exactly?
Sure. So I teach a couple of different modules. So Point Blank Music School are a global music school, and we started up in London many years ago, but now we have campuses all around the world, and also we have a really big thriving online school, and that's what I teach for. I started off teaching at the campus in London in 2018, right at the start of that year, and then I moved a little bit further away on the south coast, so my commute was getting quite long, so I was able to transition to teaching online, which I've been doing now for at least 2 years, and I teach business modules. So I teach the music industry module, which is equipping students with all of the knowledge and understanding to see how the music industry works, how the business works, how they can have like successful, sustainable careers, you know. And we have students that are artists, we have students that are songwriters, we have students that want to go into A&R or publishing or management, so it's a great mix of talent. And then I also teach a module on record deals and branding, and I'm also lucky enough to be module leader for the music industry. So I work with a team of really talented lecturers, basically just making sure that we can make the student experience and everything they learn as relevant, interesting, engaging, and rewarding as possible.
We're just interested in the female-male balance in the DJ industry. At Point Blank School, is it an even balance, or it tends to be more males?
I would say for my modules, it is still more skewed towards male identifying students. But I think that Point Blank is a very, we do some great stuff to really, really support and empower female identifying students, and, you know, bring more people on board. So there's a lot of things that we do to really kind of support those different groups. But I would love to see a lot more women come forward and get involved, definitely. And that goes for every area of the industry, of course.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's great because, you know, having you as a teacher, I think it also helps. You know, when I also kind of was teaching drums for a little bit, and I know a lot of female identifying, you know, students would say they felt comfortable because I was teaching, you know what I mean? So having you as kind of that person who's teaching all these different areas, I think it's helpful for female identifying students to, you know, get more involved.
I really hope so. And I have had some students who said, like, oh, we've been really excited to, you know, to have your module, not just because we want to learn about the business of the music industry, but also because, you know, it's really inspiring to see a female in the industry who's, you know, got to a level where they can share their knowledge with other students. So yeah, I mean, I feel really, really lucky to be able to do that. And I love my students.
We also, though, wanted to touch on, you've been doing live streams. Is it through Twitch? Is that what you've been doing?
That's right. Yes.
Oh, tell us about this. I still don't really understand how Twitch works, to be honest with you. So I'm curious.
So I really had, like so many artists, an interesting, challenging, difficult, frustrating, sad, exhilarating journey through trying to understand how we could get through this pandemic and lockdown situation. And I've been doing Twitch now for just over a year. So I had my Twitchiversary, which is what we call an anniversary in Twitchland, just a few weeks ago. I really started it was all thanks to Groove Cruise, which is my DJ residency in the US. But obviously with the cruise ships all being, you know, out of commission since last March, that wasn't possible. So quite early on into the pandemic, they got together and organized some really great, like, next level online kind of festivals. And it was thanks to them that I could firstly understand how to even do a live stream. Like, I didn't have the technical know-how or even the equipment, and the tech guys there were absolutely brilliant and they helped me set it all up. And then that inspired me to try and do something weekly, because I just got to the point where I was like, you know, I couldn't, there was no light at the end of the tunnel at that point. And, you know, it was, I was losing, you know, kind of motivation to write music, and I was feeling like I was losing my purpose for that side of my career. So I thought, well, I'm just going to try live streaming and we'll see what happens. Hopefully, like, it'll be fun because some of my US friends that I'm missing can join, and, you know, we'll see what happened. But it's just turned into a really amazing community, and I stream every Friday, as we like to call it. And we just have a really great mix of people that join from all around the world. And Twitch is really fantastic for musicians and artists, because it really, really enables you to build up a community, and you can kind of really brand your channel like how you want. So as you can probably imagine, my channel is very like friendly and welcoming, and like I broadcast from my studio where there's like sequins everywhere and like Hawaiian garlands, and, you know,
I love that.
And it's kind of like, and my stream like is very PG-13 because I have like friends whose children might listen in, and then my mom listens in, and it's, so, you know, it's kind of, it's very much like a reflection of like what my music is. And there's been some people who've said that my streams really helped them like during lockdown and gave them something to look forward to, and that for me, like, that's reason enough alone, like, to do that if I was, you know, able to, you know, find, you know, bring people together and play some great uplifting music. But it's just, you know, I have been able to reach new fans from around the world that I wouldn't have discovered before. So it's, yeah, I'm going to absolutely continue doing it, and I really love it.
Yeah, we interviewed LP Giovi, and she really built up her audience on Twitch through quarantine. Like, it's insane. She's getting all these huge gigs now. So
it's, yeah, I mean, it's, and the communities there are really nice in general. Like, all of the different DJ communities are really, really supportive, which is also like a nice feeling as well. So yeah, I definitely, you know, really learned a lot through live streaming, like a lot of trial and error. Like, I had, as you ladies know, I have a little rescue dog, and there were streams early on where she'd like, I hadn't secured the cables and she ran by and like accidentally pulled out the audio, and, you know, she's like now become the star of the show. Like, every time I'm streaming, people are like, where's Luna? We want to see Luna. So, you know, oh, but God, it's nice, horrible. Because people can just, you know, be like a part of my world and vice versa, and I really kind of love that interaction and being able to share the music.
That's so amazing. Cool. And so on top of doing these Twitch live streams, as the world is kind of starting to open back up and shows are happening, what do you have things coming up? And I guess just tell us all about anything that you have coming up.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've had a kind of few stop starts in the UK, unfortunately. So there, we weren't able to fully open up as early as we hoped. And that has sadly had a knock-on effect for the industry. And there were a couple of festivals and shows that I was booked for, and they've been postponed till next summer because the cost of, you know, organizing a festival and all of the infrastructure, and then if you aren't able to run it at the very last minute, like, the losses are huge. So a lot of festivals had to take the hard decision a month or two before to say, like, are we going to go? So I unfortunately have had a few things that have been postponed, but I actually just got a booking in today for the first Saturday that the restrictions are due to be fully lifted, and it's in my local city of Brighton, so I'm really looking forward to that.
That will go off if it's the first.
I know, I can't even imagine.
Like, it's going to be mental.
I will probably cry as well. Like, the first time I got back into doing a gym class, like, with dancing, and they played like this brilliant, like, cheesy hard house remix of Madonna, like a prayer, and I was just crying because it was so nice to somehow like have some form of music and dancing. So when it's actually DJing, my goodness. So I've got that. And as you mentioned, before the pandemic hit, I was really fortunate. I had a lot of shows over in the US, which I was just loving. So what I'm doing is, because I need to like organize my artist visa and it's lengthy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just planning for January to get back out to the States. And it's going to start off with Groove Cruise on the 20th of January. So that's going to be amazing. And I'm sure that Scotty Boy will then have me back for Deep House Brunch. And yes, yeah, so for the remainder of this year, I'll be UK and maybe some things in Europe again, depending how it all goes. And then next year, I'll be back over in the US. And you can bet I'll be like, come to Deep House Brunch.
Oh my God, we are coming.
We will be there. And, you know, if you want a drummer to play with you, I'm down.
Yeah, this is amazing. Oh my God.
Amazing. I love live elements during DJ sets. I love that.
I was going to ask, actually, that's something I was wondering. Have you played with a drummer for some live sets?
I have actually done that a couple of times at Deep House Brunch and some other venues. And as long as the drummer is close enough for you that you can actually be in sync with the timing, I think it's brilliant. And I'll actually do, like, when the tune's playing and I know there's like a section that'll work really well, I'll like completely drop the bass out. So then the drummer can do, like, you know, and that's, apologies, I'll get the words wrong, but the crazy stuff you do where you go on all of the different drums and like bang it all around.
Like a big fill or something. Yeah.
So I can really kind of like engage with that. So I can kind of give the drummer a chance to kind of showcase what they do as well. So yeah, I love having like those live elements in it. Just, yeah, it makes for a really great show.
So cool. Well, awesome. Yeah, we will definitely be there. Yeah. We're going to be there and we're partying with you. We'll probably be crying too. Cause yeah, I'm just so every live event that I go to from here on out, I think I'm just going to cry because I'm just so happy that, you know, it's happening.
I know. I've got, we were due in my hometown of Worthing, which is on the South Coast. We were due to have our Pride event on the weekend of the 10th of July. But again, that's been pushed back because of all of the still restrictions. But my friends are actually just having a barbecue in their garden. And the current rules are you're allowed up to 30 people outside. And I'm so excited. Like, my friends are like, we're going to set the decks up and there will be dancing. And I'm so excited just to DJ in my friend's garden to the number of people we're allowed.
Yes,
so,
yeah, that sounds great.
I'll probably cry then as well. And of course, I'll be doing all of my Twitch live streams up until, you know, and continuing as well, because that's it's become like a radio show to me, but more than that, because it's so interactive as well. So thank goodness I had that in the past year.
Yeah, we didn't get on Twitch. We did one interview on Twitch. We're like, oh, this is cool. But then we didn't.
Oh, yeah, it's hard for me to kind of fit to. There's just so many platforms these days that it's hard. But once you pick one, like, you've kind of figured out the Twitch, you know, route to go and how to do it. And I think if we were to figure it out, it'd be easier. But I don't know. There's so much to learn.
We got this right. If you want any tips, let me know. I'll be more than happy to share my knowledge.
Yes, we will have to hit you up for that.
I don't need an expert, but I'm more than happy to always share what I know.
Awesome.
That's so nice.
Well, Lizzie, we are coming to the end of our interview. And there is one thing that we did not tell you about, but it's very easy. So don't be scared. We do a quiz at the very end with all of our guests. But it's just a this or that thing. So it's just to get to know you a little better. So I will just start it off real quick here. Question number one, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
I knew the answer.
Right. Obviously. Yeah.
I do obviously. Love cats. You've got Luna, your pup, right?
Yeah.
Love it.
What a cutie. All right, second question, whiskey or vodka?
Vodka.
Oh, nice.
But really tequila.
Oh, we get a lot of that. I'm thinking we need to do this one, not like a this or that. It should be like a vodka or tequila.
Sorry, I'm ruining it.
Jess is vodka. Oh, you're tequila as well.
I'm also tequila. Actually, lately I've been gin, but I'm everything but whiskey right now, basically.
And I'm only whiskey.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay, third question. Beach or snow?
Beach, definitely.
Oh, yes. Well, you were in the Caribbean, sort of. Yeah.
In the Caribbean. And Brighton is like right on the water, right?
Yeah.
When we moved back from the Caribbean, we were in London before. And when we were coming back, I was like, I kind of need to still be by some water. So Brighton was the obvious choice.
I love Brighton. And it's like, correct me if I'm wrong. I've only been there once. So is it kind of like the gay capital? Not the gay capital, but like it's a pretty LGBT.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like area, Brighton, right? Pride has one of the biggest pride celebrations around the country, and it really is just a really incredibly inclusive, welcoming, wonderful place to be, where, like, you know, expressing yourself and you know celebrating your individuality is like really encouraged, and that's one of the things that drew me to the city.
I love that. Yeah, I've only been there once, but I remember it's beautiful. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is great. It's very like gay friendly. Yeah, and I was just definitely. Like so in love
I
with
had
that
amazing residency at this amazing gay bar called Dr. Brighton's, and it was just the most fun ever. They closed down, sadly, but while it was running, it was the most fun ever.
All right, next question. Would you prefer to be the headliner or the opener?
Do you know what? It may make me sound like a diva, but I would prefer to be the headliner. I think there's actually, like, I pride myself on being able to play good opening sets and not, you know, bang it out too much or you know, take away the tunes that the headliner will want to play, like just to warm that audience up. However, if I'm given the opportunity, I will go for the headlining set because that's when you can really just let that energy fly with the crowd.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I think especially as a DJ when you're potentially playing the same tracks, you know, you have to hold back on what tracks you're playing. So.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're warming up, you're opening for someone else and your job is to get the crowd ready. It's not to steal the show. Like, that's my humble opinion anyway. And, like, I've run a lot of events over the years and, like, I think, like, a good warm-up DJ is, like, I think, you know, to an outsider it's a really underrated skill, but being able to just get that dance floor and excite them but not, like, go overboard is a good skill, and when you see a DJ doing it right, I really appreciate it. But definitely if I had the choice, headliner set, please.
Awesome. All right. Well, then your last question, what do you have, like, on your rider for shows?
Ooh, your questions are amazing. So my rider is very simple. I will ask for three Pioneer CDJs and a Pioneer mixer. And the reason I ask for three is I love to have the option to play some acapellas over my sets. But also, and this is what I tell my students, like, you are then secure if something happens with one of those CDJs, because I've been there when we've had to change a deck mid-set and it's not fun. So three CDJs, Pioneer mixers, you know, if I can stick my USB sticks in, I'm happy. Monitors behind the deck so I can hear what I'm doing. I also ask for a couple of towels. Again, one, because I do get very perspirational because I jump around a lot, but two, if there's spillages, you can mop them up. Like, I've been in situations before where I've used my own coat when someone's knocked over a drink. So that's on the kind of, you know, like the technical side. And if I'm singing, then obviously there's, you know, a radio mic and et cetera. From the drink side, some water and some tequila and plenty of shot glasses so I can share it with, you know, whoever's with me and some people around, and I'm good to go, basically.
I like your style.
You're like,
just give me that booze and maybe some waters and, like, it's good.
And towels, like, they're all very practical. It's
very practical.
And all learned through experience. Not glamorous, but, like, they got me out of a jam.
The spilling drinks thing is just unbelievable. Single gig someone puts a drink there and they're like, no, it'll be fine. I'm like, no.
Like, no, it's not. Everyone's jumping around. How would this be fine?
Yeah.
And it'll be like, thing I do, I move all of the drinks away when I get onto that deck area. I'm like, no. I can see
no drinks.
See into the future there, and that's not going to be good.
And the other thing I find bizarre, I don't know if it's an American thing, but all the girls come up and stand behind you when they're DJing. Do you find that bizarre? I mean, it's some gigs, not
I think, like, you kind of sometimes get the people who are really excited and they kind of just want to sort of get involved. And, like, if I know people and they want to come and give me a hug, then I absolutely love that. But the shapes that I tend to throw down during a DJ set and the amount I jump around, I generally prefer that area to be a bit clear so that there isn't any issues of someone accidentally being where I want to be, you know, even if it's in a very well-meaning way. So when I'm actually doing my performance, then I do very politely like to try and make sure that I keep that area free so I can, you know, give it the very, very best of my ability.
Yeah, it just feels funny because I'm a girl, like, this is probably totally sexist, but it does seem more normal if there was a guy DJing. Then you have the girls out there. But when I'm the girl DJing and there's a whole bunch of girls behind me, I'm like, is this weird? I don't know. This might be weird.
I think for me, like, it's just, you know, the DJ booth can very quickly get crowded as well. Like, you know, there's one person, it's okay. And then two, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, hang on a sec. Like, someone's going to lean on something. And speaking from experience, but I've been there when someone's, leant over to take a photo and, like, nudged the CDJ and hit the pause button, or worse, back in the day when I was playing vinyl, put the music actually pulling a plug out and the whole deck system is cut off. So I'm all about, like, minimizing minimizing any of those kind of things so that the experience can be the best for the crowd, but also for me as well. You know, we're all like kind of there vibing together, and I don't want that to be kind of like stopped in any way.
Yeah, like you need to be having a good time too. Like you're putting on the party. You're glad that everyone's having a good time, but you need to make sure you're not stressed out.
Actually, speaking of bad things, like just quickly, I did a gig and a guy was coming, the next DJ was coming on after me, and he kept saying he wanted to test his gear. So I was like, cool, whilst I'm playing, that's fine. And he kept saying, I'm going to pull that USB out. I go, dude, I'm playing off that USB. And he goes, oh, yeah, so that's fine. And then I look around and he's pulled the USB out. I go, dude, I'm playing off that USB. It goes into emergency loop. Basically, there's nothing controlling. Anyway, just stupid things that happen with technology when you're DJing.
It is, you know, every time like I go to take the USB out to put mine in, even if you like triple check it, you triple check it and you still get the fear and you like pull it out and you're like, yes, is it the right one? Oh, thank God.
Oh my God.
Sounds stressful, but sounds fun.
The fun always is the bit that makes it.
The gig's fun, and it's fun when it's over because then nothing went wrong.
Right. Once something's gone wrong and you're done, you're like, cool, done. Amazing. Well, Lizzie, thank you again so much for joining us. We loved chatting with you. And for everyone else that's listening out there, do you want to give us kind of like maybe your social media handles or a website or even maybe your Twitch stream, whatever you think is your most active on, so people can check out your stuff?
Amazing. Thank you. Definitely come and find me on Twitch. Just search for Lizzie Curious. All of my music is on Spotify, Apple Music, Traxsource, Beatport, Amazon Artist, Deezer. So again, just search for Lizzie Curious. And I'm really active on Instagram. As you might have guessed from the interview, I'm quite a happy, upbeat person. And on Instagram, I'm always sharing like, you know, happy, smiley pictures of my dog. So find me on Instagram, Lizzie Curious, and do come and say hi, because I love meeting lovely, like-minded people like you two ladies. Thank you for having me.
We love it. And everyone, yes, go follow her right now, because you are just a ball of joy. I just feel so positive, like the positive energy just radiates even just through this interview. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm on pretty much every platform. The only one I'm not on is TikTok, but any other platform, just search for Lizzie Curious and you'll see someone smiling from ear to ear, jumping around to music, and yeah, disclaimer, lots of pictures of my dog.
Love it. That's the content we love to see too. So yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lizzie. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Take care. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.